Megan McCulloch, Research Manager at APQC. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to APQC Podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we're here with APQC's Principal Research Lead in Human Capital Management, Alyssa Tucker, to talk about getting people to commit to DEI. Welcome to the podcast, Alyssa.
Thank you, Megan. I'm very excited to be here and excited to be talking about the topic of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Awesome. We are so happy to join you, and I'm excited to talk about this topic. So first, I want to really get into it. So how do we get people engaged with DEI?
I think it starts with understanding how people in your organization resonate with DEI. Why does it matter to them? So it really starts with listening, whether it's through focus groups, conducting engagement surveys, really trying to understand the starting points where your employees are. And then from there, tailor your approach to DEI to things that are most meaningful to them. And one of the companies that we interviewed for a case study related to DEI, their name is Altig, and they're an employee-owned engineering consulting firm. They operate in the US and Canada. And they talk about this term of scaffolding. So understanding where your employees are in terms of their awareness, their understanding, their motivation for DEI at any moment, and thinking about what information, what steps will resonate with them right now, and then build from there. And so you may have to progress a little bit slower than maybe you want to, but by catering what you're doing step by step to where your organization, your employees are on their DEI journey, you're going to bring them along the way with you, and you'll actually be able to make, you know, some meaningful progress, even if it's slow. Sometimes that's what it takes.
Right. So you want to walk the journey together and make sure that they are included at every step of the way, right?
Exactly. You want to, you know, not just listen to them, but also take the next step and involve them. Co-create is a great term for that. Involve your employees in determining what your roadmap is going to be for DEI and determining what the organization needs, you know, identify those areas to work on and then help co-create those solutions together. So people are going to be much more motivated and engaged if, you know, not only do they care about and the issue resonates with them, but if they're actually involved in creating what that solution is, they're much more likely to commit to it.
Great. You talk about what sounds like a lot around the trust and the buy-in, right? Mm-hmm. So what are some ways that maybe we could to figure out what do they want, right? Like, how do they bring them in order to create that journey? So is this like pulse surveys? Is this open communication? Like, how do we foster that relationship, right? To get them to go on this journey with you? Like, you've stuck your hand out, but what does that look like?
Yeah, and trust is really the word. And I think where you start depends on the level of trust that you have in your organization with your employees. Is it safe for them to publicly voice their needs, their experiences, their suggestions? If it's not, then you have some work to do before you can have those kinds of conversations. So if you don't have that trust yet, it is probably starting with something like an engagement or a pulse survey. And a tip that we found from our research is, if you can have a third party conduct that survey, you're more likely to have employees who feel safe sharing their opinions. And then if you take the next step and show that you heard what was said and you take action on it, then you start fostering trust. And then maybe as a follow-up, you have focus groups where you talk about some of the issues that were raised on that third party conducted engagement survey. And you demonstrate that it's okay to talk about these things and there's not going to be a negative repercussion. Another thing that's really critical in terms of building trust is just having your leaders, your managers being vulnerable themselves. So being willing to share their ideas, their experiences, to be willing to admit maybe where they have fallen short or made a mistake, you know, just take responsibility for that. And also to, you know, model that they're going to take a step, that they're going to do something about it. So role modeling can go a long way in terms of creating that trusting culture.
Sounds like vulnerability is very key for leadership, to be able to hear the hard stuff, because you're not going to hear a whole lot of positive, I don't think, when you're introducing a DEI strategy or trying to improve what you do have within the organization. I think you need to be ready to hear the hard stuff and be that vulnerable in that trust relationship, right? So if you show vulnerability, I think they'll show vulnerability and they'll be willing to take that hand, right? To go on that
journey. Exactly. I think if you don't show that vulnerability as leaders, employees are going to be really hesitant to put themselves out there for good reason. It is difficult to put yourself out there. And one way that leaders also can do this, in addition to role modeling those behaviors, is just fostering a culture and a focus within the organization on continuously learning, continuous improvement. So it might not just be in relation to DEI, but if you have an organizational culture where it's okay to experiment, it's okay to try something new, and it's okay if you made a mistake as long as you learn from that. Having that broader context of that kind of a learning culture for your DEI efforts to sit in is going to make it, I think, much easier for you to bring your employees along, as we talked about earlier.
It brings to mind embedding DEI into the organization as a whole, to where it just becomes part of who you are. That, without going too far into that, stay tuned for the next episode. But it sounds like that making that part of, you know, the day-to-day really helps kind of foster and getting everyone together, if it's just part of what you do, right? But it's just getting there, which is really, really integral, that it's not just not just something you want to think about the one time, right? That it just needs to be part of it. But you mentioned that you're making it part of your learning and development, part of your employees. That to me is a great example of integrating something into the organization and just making it part of who you are as the organization. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
That's exactly it. Part of how you operate in the organization. And one of the DEI leaders that we spoke with talked about, you know, it's not always about changing mindsets right away. It's about, you know, changing behaviors. And when you change behaviors and how you operate, then, you know, you kind of get a snowball effect. And so it's really about, you know, if you're going to work here at this organization, this is how we work. This is how we approach it. These are the behaviors that we uphold and we value. And that's just part of, you know, adopting those as part of being part of the organization.
Oh, I love that about behaviors. That's a great way to think about that. I hope that really is. Okay. So we talked about, you know, the staff and getting in their buy-in and how we can do that. But what about leadership? What about management? How do we get buy-in from the different leaders of the different function areas, right? So oftentimes DEI is their own group, right? And they have their mission. They're there to do a job. But how do you get buy-in from other leaders across the organization to be on the DEI train, right? To take that journey with you too. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, super important and super difficult at the same time. In our research and our survey research that we've done on DEI, having senior leaders as well as managers be on board and take time to participate in the DEI goals of the organization is absolutely critical. And one of the findings that we had is organizations that we studied who have had better results when it comes to DEI, they tend to include measurable goals related to DEI in the performance plans of their senior leaders as well as their managers. It's also more likely that organizations who we've studied who have successful DEI programs, that they tie incentives and compensation for senior leaders, especially, but also sometimes managers, to achieving these measurable DEI goals. Because when you make DEI one of the business goals that senior leaders and managers have, you give them the justification that, yes, this is important. This is something that we expect you to spend your time on. So it's really illustrating the importance of DEI and of the leader and manager's role when it comes to DEI. Another thing that we see with organizations who do well with their DEI programs is that they provide training that's specific to managers in particular on, you know, how can they be role models? How can they lead their team in an inclusive way? So it's not just giving them the measures and the goals and the expectations and the okay to spend time and resources on DEI, but it's also making sure that managers and senior leaders have the understanding and the capabilities that they need to be able to fulfill those goals and those expectations. So it's really both pieces, having those measurable goals and expectations, but also providing the knowledge and the the training, the behaviors that they need to use in order to achieve those goals.
So it sounds like we've got some pretty key things that an organization can do, starting with vulnerability and trust, right? Making sure that that is part of the culture within the organization. We've got making a plan that is often a buildable plan that you build on the next step and the next step so that people move with you on that plan. And then you've got ways to make sure employees are heard about what they would like in their DEI program or how they feel about it, or, you know, to do those pulse checks and open communication that kind of goes to the trust. And then we've got making sure all leaders across the organization are trained and informed about DEI practices and putting measurable goals that allow them the time to focus on that, but you're setting them up for success to focus on that. So it sounds like those are pretty key pieces.
Yes, definitely. Our research would point to all of those being, you know, foundational elements that even if you don't have all of those in place from day one, those are things to be working toward as an organization, to be constantly working to move the needle there. It's not something you're ever going to, you know, finish doing. It's something that you're going to constantly, you know, work and continuously improve and work to do better on. But I would stress that that culture of trust, that vulnerability that we talked about, is really the foundation of it all. The more you can build that vulnerability among your leaders and create a place where employees feel safe to speak up and to be themselves, from there, you can do great things. So I definitely say that, you know, that's where to kind of center everything, ground everything.
Yeah, trust is the foundation of just about everything in life. But yeah, the stronger that foundation is, the more you can build, right? You could build a mansion on that foundation if you wanted to. Oh, this has been an amazing conversation. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast today, Alyssa. And I look forward to future conversations on DEI.
Me as well.
And having talks about that, as always. Once again, I'd like to close this out. I'm Megan McCulloch. Thanks for joining us on today's APQC podcast. Please go to apqc.org to learn more about our research. And we hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks, Alyssa.
Sure. Thanks for having me.